Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I believe.
I believe.
And receive.
And receive.
This word is for me.
This word is for me.
Because my eyes see.
Because my eyes see.
My ears hear.
My ears hear.
And my heart does perceive.
And my heart does perceive.
You're about to talk to me.
You're about to talk to me.
Amen.
Amen.
I heard loud and clear early this morning, Psalm number 85. So we're going to go to Psalm number 85, and I'm using the Amplified. And I want you to realize sometimes we get a word from the Lord or get a press to read something or to investigate. But this morning was kind of cool. When I read Psalm 85, I noticed that I had received this psalm on January 11. So this is the second time he's bringing this same word. So it was a note that I put on the side of, in my NIV, 1:11:20. And so I said, Lord, what were you after on 1:11? Now, what if I didn't write down what he did on 1:11? How could I remember? Right? So, I went back to what he wrote and what he told me on 1:11. At 12:20 a.m., that's about as close as I can to the early part of the new 1:11. I am trusting in your ability and might to complete me in your image. I realize again yesterday your completed work. Yes, how you are setting me on a new walk with you. I need to see you, Lord, and I know you are faithful. I'm to rest and get clear instructions. And I want to please my Father and complete my scroll. At 6:49 a.m., I saw a gentleman who lives on the next street. And I was making a note about his mother, because when his mother came to the Lord, Irene and I were involved with the prayer group called Children of Light. And his mother was born again. And she used to come to the prayer meeting, sometimes with her second son, which happened to be related to us through marriage. And those prayers of long ago did not get dissipated. So I said, Holy Spirit, I need to obey, and I need your grace for this today. I ask for your angels to go before me because I'm concerned about this neighbor. This neighbor is younger than I. He's probably lost about, I would say, 40% of his body weight in the past year and a half. We've tried, or some family members have tried to, let's say, release some grace to him. And we can tell that things are not good in the mind. The mind is not good. So I'm trusting the Lord. So Psalm 85 came, and verse 8 became alive. So I wrote this down. I will listen to what God the Lord will is. He promised peace to his people, his saints, but let them not return to folly. There was a couple of other notes, but that's for other things. So now today I said, Lord, what do you want? And he said, take the Amplified and go a little deeper. So that's where we're going. Lord, you have at last been favorable and have dealt graciously with your land of Canaan. You have brought back from Babylon, which is confusion, the captives of Jacob. You have forgiven and taken away the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sins. And then it says, Selah, pause and calmly realize what that means. You have withdrawn all your wrath and indignation. You have turned away from the blazing anger which you had let loose. Restore us, O God, of our salvation, and cause your anger towards us to cease forever. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger and disfavor and spread it out to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? That particular verse was very much a part of my heart, because when I was reminded of what's happening with my neighbor and how his mother came alive, she came alive and was so excited about Jesus. And she was a very tiny lady. And she loved all her children. She had 3 boys and 1 girl. Her oldest son was an organist. He was our organist for the choir. And I was part of that for over 30 years. And whenever we had rehearsals, we would go to their house. So I was very familiar with the family. When she got filled with the Lord, I don't think it was more than 6 months. And her youngest son was part of the reserves, Army Reserves. And there was a great big celebration, a ball for, I forgot what season it was, I don't remember that part. So he took her to the ball. She was going to be his date. So she bought herself a beautiful gown. It was formal. And she went with her little boy. It wasn't a little boy anymore. During one of the dances, while they were dancing together, she crumbled in his arms. They brought her to the hospital, and she went home to be with Jesus. It was a very difficult time for that family. You see, she had received revival and was ready and prepared by God to meet her maker. But the kids weren't ready to let her go. Her husband wasn't ready to let him go. So he showed mercy, verse 7. And loving kindness, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. And he did that with the mama. And I said, Lord, you got to do this for the boy. So I'm reminding you, Lord. She cried out for her family. Acts 16:31. Me and my house. Salvation is for the house. It's not for some. It's for all. And verse 8 says, I will listen with expectancy to what God the Lord will say. For he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, those who are in right standing with him. But let them not turn against or again to self-confident folly or foolishness. When I'm self-confident and I think I can do it, I am being foolish. And that particular verse was really bouncing out at me this morning. Because we have such a tendency to get so worked up about what's going on in other people. And it is foolish. Our confidence is not in ourselves. Our confidence is in the Holy Spirit and his angels that are commissioned to help us on every level, including family. Surely his salvation is near to those who reverently and worshipfully fear him and is ready to be appropriated, that the manifest presence of God, his glory, may tabernacle and abide in our land. I'd like to add the point, abide in my spirit, and my spirit resident within me. Mercy and loving kindness and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. They're working together. Truth shall spring up from the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness shall go before him and will make his footsteps a way in which to walk. Righteousness shall go before him. Who's he talking about? Talking about you. He's talking about me. And his footsteps, a way in which to walk. That's the Lord pressing in for us to walk in the ways that he walked. Pressing in for us to go forward with what he wants from each of us. And when you submit to allow that to take place, there will be resistance. I think you've all tasted of a little bit of resistance this morning when you heard from each other, the giant trying to hold on. The giant is really your soul. Your mind, will, and emotions have been in control for years. So they're accustomed to ruling everything. But when your spirit man starts coming alive, you then have some footsteps to follow. Because the one that followed and walked by the Spirit of God is Christ. He's our example. You say, well, he didn't have any trouble with his soul. I've got news for you. Scripture says he was tempted in every single way that we are. But he didn't sin. So if you'll just close your eyes right now and say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
you've provided footsteps. And I will ask for grace.
And I will ask for grace
to walk in those footsteps. And to respond. The way you responded. To the best of my ability. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.